All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our first guest on the show today is Jeffrey Kay. He's a writer and psychologist. He writes regularly on torture and other subjects for Truthout, The Public Record, and Fire Dog Lake. He also maintains a personal blog, Invictus, at valtonsblog.blogspot.com. And for those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, you know that over the last few months, we've talked repeatedly with Jason Leopold from truthout.org about a lot of his great work about what's been going on there at Guantanamo Bay to this day. And Jeffrey Kay is the co-author of many, if not all, of those as well. His current article, brand new out at truthout.org, is called Deconstructing the Campaign to Malign Award-Winning Article on Guantanamo, quote-unquote, Suicides. And this is, of course, about the other Scott Horton, the heroic international anti-torture human rights lawyer, and his journalism for Harper's Magazine about the Guantanamo, quote-unquote, suicides. And you might remember we interviewed Scott just a couple of weeks ago on his winning the National Magazine Award for that story. Well, ever since that happened, there's been a massive campaign to attempt to discredit the other Scott Horton and his journalism, including a piece by Alex Koppelman in Adweek, which got a lot of play. And Jeffrey Kay looked at that and decided he was going to write an article in response, and it's a real good one. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Fine, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you joining us on the show today. So, first of all, I guess, can you basically give us the thumbnail of the background of the story before we get to the smear campaign and your response here?
Sure, of course. Well, not very long ago, I don't have the exact date in front of me, Scott Horton's article at Harper's Magazine, which was written back in January of 2010 on the June 2006 purported suicides of three detainees at Guantanamo, was awarded this prize, which is, some people say anyway, is like the Pulitzer Prize of, for magazine articles. And it was awarded by the American Society of Magazine Editors. And not very long thereafter, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and Cully Stimson, who is an important Defense Department official, came out with statements criticizing those who would question the government's narrative on these events. In fact, Rumsfeld went so far as to say he felt that the WikiLeaks documents backed him up that were released on Guantanamo about a month ago or so. Of course, no one I know, and I looked around, could find any way in which those documents ever even mentioned the Guantanamo suicides, but that was Rumsfeld's contention. Well, this was picked up by a journalist at Adweek, Alex Koppelman, who formerly is of Salon.com. He may, in fact, still have some kind of connection with Salon. And he wrote an article that largely cribbed, it seemed, from some previous neocon criticisms of Scott Horton's article. Of course, these people were incensed and labeled Horton's article, which was based on findings, based on witnesses who had come forward, quite courageously so, from the Guantanamo camp, army guards, who revealed the existence of a secret black site hitherto never discussed called informally Camp No, because no one was supposed to know of its existence, and who had saw some very strange happenings the night of the suicides. And incredible critique also done by the Seton Hall Law School Center for Policy and Research, led by attorney Mark Denbow, looking deeply into the investigations by the Naval Criminal Investigative Service that were done after the supposed suicides, and showing how the investigation was very dubious in so many different ways. Well, Koppelman's piece in Adweek caught my eye. I mean, there had already been these articles, but this is because, you know, Adweek is just no ordinary journal. It's an important advertising industry journal, and it seemed to me to be in the context of Rumsfeld's article and Cully Stimson's article to be, you know, a serious attack, really, against a magazine that would dare publish an important new investigative piece and get rewarded awards for it, questioning the government. And when an ad industry journal attacks a major magazine and major journalists such as Scott Horton, you know, that sends messages to publishers, editors, and anyone who would think, and advertisers who would advertise in magazines like Harper's. So I thought that Koppelman's piece deserved a really good going over as to its legitimacy, and that's what I did in this article.
Yeah, well, I sure hope that your article gets even half the play that Koppelman's piece did. Everybody cited it like he's some authoritative source on the matter or something, but I'd like to, you know, before we move on to your deconstruction of Koppelman's hit piece, I wanted to mention that the other Scott Horton, heroic anti-torture international human rights lawyer, in his piece in Harper's Magazine, The Guantanamo Suicides, he has five named sources. And as you say, they are courageous whistleblowers who came forward. And his number one source, Sergeant Hickman, joined him in a radio interview on Australian radio and spoke in depth about what it was he saw that night, et cetera, answered in-depth questions about, you know, what it was he knew about Camp No, et cetera. And other Scott has also had numerous follow-ups on his blog, nocomment@harpers.org.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I spoke to him, he said he's working on further developments in the story I think it's okay to say he said he's more sure than ever that Hickman is right about what happened there, and that Rumsfeld and his apologists are wrong, and that piece should be coming out before too long. So he's not backing down one bit from this, and I don't know why he would. In fact, I should have his editor, Ken Silverstein, on the show this week sometime to talk about it as well. But I just wanted people to know that, you know, even if there's a giant echo chamber worth of neoconservatives and former Rumsfeld lackeys and then liberal internationalist minor birds like Koppelman repeating these charges doesn't make it true any more than when Peter Beinart was writing in the New Yorker about Saddam and Osama.
Exactly. Yes. You know,
it's like when
really
Republicans, you say, even Bill Clinton says Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, although as though that's not your number one indication that it's a lie that Bill Clinton said it. You know, you just turn it right around somehow.
Yes. Well, they actually did the same kind of thing I point out in the article. This actually is not from Koppelman's article, but Koppelman cites a former chief defense counsel at the Office of Military Commissions, Dwight Sullivan. And, you know, Sullivan has been on the record saying that Camp No, no one could have been taken there. Horton's accusations are crazy libel, conspiracy theory, birther, truther, crazy, literal, quote, unquote. And one of the stories he retails, Sullivan does, this is not in Koppelman's article, but it's an example of the kind of attacks that have been made, was to quote a McClatchy News article that reported that a former Guantanamo detainee, name of Abdul Zuhur, had told another detainee at the camp that the suicides were a plot by the Taliban and Arab prisoners playing into these charges of asymmetrical warfare, which is how the Guantanamo camp officials labeled the suicides the day afterwards. There was no one before there was any investigation, before they'd gathered all the facts at all.
Right.
The Admiral Harris, who was
I'm sorry,
the
we're going to have to leave it there, Jeff, and take this break. It's a hard break built in here. Can't avoid it.
Of course.
We'll be right back. It's Jeff Kay from truthout.org, deconstructing the campaign to malign award-winning article on Guantanamo quote-unquote suicides. And we'll be right back. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Jeff Kay. He's a writer for truthout.org and also a psychologist. He's been writing about torture there, has some great articles about Guantanamo and all kinds of things there. I highly urge you to read good journalism, real journalism, the kind that you can't find in Newsweek or Time or People at your newsstand there. Deconstructing the Campaign to Malign, award-winning article on Guantanamo suicides is the piece. So here's the deal. The other Scott Horton, international human rights lawyer, wrote a piece for Harper's in January 2010 called the Guantanamo quote-unquote suicides, about how these three guys were probably murdered in June 2006 and there was a cover-up. They called it an asymmetrical warfare suicide attack against America to make us look bad by committing suicide together, was the official story. He just won a National Magazine Award, the most prestigious National Magazine Award for it. Then Rumsfeld says, the WikiLeaks say I'm right. He didn't prove his point. He just made the assertion. And then the pro-Rumsfeld echo chamber relaunched their smear campaign from early in 2010 against the other Scott Horton and his article in Harper's Magazine. This included a guy named Alex Koppelman from Salon.com, at least formerly of Salon.com, who wrote a piece in Adweek. And now Jeffrey Kay has dismantled Koppelman's criticism in truthout.org. And now I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jeff, and let you continue dismantling. I think you started with his parroting of one of Rumsfeld's former direct payroll lackeys saying the sticking with the spin of the asymmetric warfare attack, trying to embarrass the United States through bad public relations by all committing suicide together.
Right. Yes, exactly. That was an assertion that the commandant of the camp and the director of the guards, the commandant of the guards, Colonel Bumgarner, who Koppelman relied upon in quotes in his article, made before any investigation had actually begun. So the Pentagon had already determined what the story was from the get-go, and would have taken tremendous courage by any agency to call them liars. However, what I had left with before the break was not from Koppelman, but from someone Koppelman quotes who had retailed the story that the suicides were a plot and named a former Guantanamo detainee. But in doing so, and even linking to their article, I guess they believe no one ever really goes and checks on these people, on them, and what they say. So I checked, and actually what the article does tell the story of a supposed plot, but then it cautions twice in the story that this story must, quote, be taken with some skepticism, and that the detainee was a, quote, admitted liar who admitted lying to the tribunal at Guantanamo about a host of things, and so said in their own article, this story really should be taken with a grain of salt. But, of course, the critics never mention that. But back to Koppelman's article, what I want to point out is a couple of examples. Probably the most egregious example is after the deaths, the families of these young detainees back in Saudi Arabia just could not believe, especially one who was planned to be released within a few weeks from Guantanamo and supposedly killed himself. Well, they asked for an independent autopsy to be done, and they got a Swiss pathologist specialist by the name of Patrice Mangan to look at their son's body. And Koppelman, in reporting this, claims that the report discredits Horton's thesis or anyone's thesis that this wasn't suicide. And quote from Koppelman, ended with the conclusion that hanging was, in fact, the most likely cause of death. Again, I presume these people just figure if you put a lie out there, no one's going to check it and they're going to believe it. But if you actually go back and look at the autopsy report, and it's or other interviews done by this same pathologist, it doesn't say that at all. What the autopsy report says is that the cause of death was, quote, mechanical asphyxiation, and notes that that would be consistent with a hanging, but that the pathologist was unable to formally exclude other causes or mechanisms. And the reason for this was because the United States had not provided the crucial neck organs that the larynx, the hyoid bone, which is used for speech under the tongue, and the thyroid cartilage were all removed from the bodies and not sent back with them to Saudi Arabia for burial. They were kept by the United States. And without those parts of the bodies, you couldn't, as the same guy said, but Koppelman does not quote, there was asphyxiation which could be due to suicide, but also to other reasons. We have too little information to make any definitive conclusions, which is the exact opposite of what Koppelman reports. And it's that kind of dishonesty and cherry-picking of quotes and facts that characterizes Koppelman's work and that of most of the other critics who
well,
have also
written. Well, I mean, that is absolutely outrageous, too, because that's such an important point.
It
obviously smacks of cover-up right from the get-go. What do you mean that they didn't include all the parts of the neck, the broken neck and the crushed organs in there and whatever to the independent autopsy? Why wouldn't they? They included some but not all, and that somehow goes completely missing from his piece. Amazing. Now, your first point that you make, you know, in order in your article here, I thought was extremely important. Well, half of it was the most important to me, was that he quotes, he says, first of all, well, other reporters decided not to pursue the story. Okay? And then, you know, for what that's worth, but he quotes another journalist anonymously criticizing the other Scott Horton. I mean, what kind of journalistic ethics is that? One, for a journalist to give an anonymous quote trash-talking another journalist, and two, for the third journalist to then repeat that, to go ahead and quote that as though it's classified information and this guy will get prosecuted if we tell you his name or something.
Yes, right.
That's amazing to me.
Well, perhaps he thought his reputation would suffer because he, for character assassination.
I guess Koppelman wasn't worried about his reputation.
Well, I don't know what Koppelman thinks. When I was writing this, some people said, are you going to call Koppelman? Are you going to talk to him? And I thought, well, what? He's already put out what he has to say. What am I going to say? Are you lying? So when I wrote this article, I stuck completely to the original documents. I reviewed the NCIS investigation. I reviewed the autopsy report. I reviewed independently experts who have written on investigations of hangings versus murder versus suicide and how you would determine that from a pathologist standpoint. I reviewed the Seton Hall studies. I reviewed a number of the other criticisms by Joe Carter at First Things, a neocon guy, and Jack Schaefer at Slate. These articles written quite some time back, about a year ago, you know, just so I could look at the entire picture as well as I could. I reviewed Colonel Michael Bumgarner's statement.
If you could go back and elaborate about that Seton Hall study.
Right. Well, sure. There's Seton Hall Law School, Center for Policy and Research, run by Mark Denbow and a number of incredible law students over there at the Seton Hall Law Center for Policy and Research, had been investigating this report from when it came out. They've written a number of papers about Guantanamo, looking at the government story and detail documenting why the government story is remiss in so many ways. Most recently, they put out a paper on statements that the detainees were fed well and they were overweight that James Inhofe had mentioned. Okay. But the Seton Hall study which is ignored by Koppelman and the other...
He doesn't mention it at all.
He actually, in passing, he says Mark Denbow, who wrote a paper on the Internet.
Oh,
that's
right.
All he says. Actually, with charts and documentation and tons of footnotes, Denbow and his students put out over 150 pages of evidence detailing why the government story had tons of contradictions or problems with it. And, of course, the press ignored it. The only press who didn't ignore it was Scott Horton. And there's a reason that the neocons and the others like Koppelman, and by the way, Koppelman's former Salon.com co-author, Mark Benjamin, who has written a number of important articles on torture, came out against, Harper's article. But the Seton Hall piece is definitely worth reading, and Death at Camp Delta is available online.
Right. All right, I'm sorry, we got to go. We have to leave right there. Everybody, it's Jeff K. Truthout.org. Deconstructing the Campaign to Malign, award-winning article on Guantanamo suicides. Very important piece today. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll be back.